Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning, wherever you may be across this great land of ours in some time zones. It's already Thanksgiving. In others, well, actually, the Thanksgiving is now sweeping across the nation at the speed of time zones. Whatever that is, an hour at a time, I guess. Anyway, welcome from commercially the Hawaiian Tahitian Islands out west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. We're going to have open lines in the first hour tonight. Then in the second hour, we are going to have a man whose name I can't pronounce. I think it's Simcue. Dr. Walter Simcue, who is an MD, regular medical doctor, and he claims he has discovered visual evidence of reincarnation. So from a medical doctor, that's quite something, and we'll talk with him in the next hour. This hour, open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. We come to you on the internet, of course, courtesy of broadcast.com. Thank you for that distribution worldwide. And, of course, the Intel Corporation, which has devised this unique math that allows these wonderful new programs, the G2 or the G, the 7 program, G7, I think it is. G7, that sounds like a summit, doesn't it? Anyway, you can go to my website and download those programs, either one you want, and come back to my website, click on streaming video, and then you will see me doing the show as well as hear it underway. That is, if you really want to watch somebody sitting here talking. I don't know why people do that, but they do it. It's kind of cool. Well, about 20 million of you are hitting the road to go eat fowl at somebody else's house. 20 million people have hit the road and or the skies and or whatever to get from here to there to eat fowl. Personally, I detest turkey. Actually, I'll tell you a little story about turkey. I hate turkey so much that I took a Delta flight. You know, a Delta Airlines flight, back east. And I just don't like turkey, all right? Give me beef or give me, anyway. So here I am on a Delta flight, and the lady comes up to me, says something like, what would you like? And I forget what the choices were, but they were all fowl. I could get a turkey sandwich, or a turkey burger, or a turkey. There were like two or three turkey choices, and that's all there was, turkey. And so I sat down, and I blasted a letter off to Delta Airlines and just let them have it. I said, how can you trap passengers in a plane for hours and hours and hours and offer only this foul choice? And they wrote me back, and they said, well, you know, things in the airline industry have changed, and they were very nice. But I couldn't believe it. Nothing but turkey. Nothing but a heartache. That brings up another subject I'll get to in a moment. Anyway, 20 million of you on the move, so if you're one of the ones on the move right now, hello, drive safely, buckle up, and all that. An Egyptian official said Wednesday that he believes an explosion, that's right, an explosion brought down Egypt Air Flight 990. A general sent over to listen to and evaluate the tapes said the cases of both black boxes located in the tail were severely damaged, which he says confirms the tail of the plane was subject to an explosion, says he, at the height or an altitude of 33,000 feet because of, quote, an internal or external explosion, end quote. The general said he thought that a missile or a bomb had caused this, But U.S. investigators disagree. They think the crash was caused by a backup pilot who apparently was alone in the cockpit shortly before that jet plunged into the Atlantic from 33,000, killing all 217 on board. So the Egyptians obviously have a bit of a different take on all of this than we do. The fugitive who helped carry out Britain's, you remember this now? They did movies about it. 1963 Great Train Robbery. What do you think he's doing now, huh? He's designing a new video game based on the heist. Ronald Biggs was arrested and sentenced to 30 years in Wadsworth Prison, but escaped in 1965 after serving just 15 months. And he eventually popped up in Brazil in 1970, where he successfully fought efforts by the British government to extradite him. Right, because he had a lot of money. He and fellow train robber Bruce Reynolds have signed on as design consultants with England's SCI Entertainment Group to develop a video and computer game based on their infamous heist, the company and Biggs family announced on Wednesday. There are a number of countries, as you know, Brazil and a bunch of others, that if you have enough money, it really doesn't matter what you did, short of some genocidal act, and you will be protected. You will be given a passport. You'll be welcomed in as a new member of the Brazilian community or whatever. And there's no way they're ever going to send you back. Now, of course, if you're busted broke, why you're on the next plane out of here. In a moment, I've got a letter. We're scheduling a show with Dr. Jonathan Reed. Robert Wraith, and more. Dr. Reed is the doctor who had the encounter with the alien being, ended up with the being in his freezer. You remember all of that? You remember the photographs, the obelisk, photographs of the alien? Well, folks, guess what? There's more. I'll tell you all about it in a moment.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
a lot of you remember Dr. Jonathan Reed and Robert Rafe, and Dr. Reed, who had this incredible story of an encounter with an alien that was beaten up on his dog, and then he clubbed the thing, and he thought it was dead, took it home, put it in the freezer, and you'll recall it started screaming and banging on the freezer when he thought it was, oh, the whole story is incredible. But, you see, he supplied photographs of the obelisk, the craft, whatever you want to call it, that was suspended in midair. He supplied photographs of the alien and told that story, and we put all those photographs on the website. Well, guess what? You're about to get an update. December 9th, they will be back. I've got a letter here from Robert Rafe, who tells me in part, here are the negatives. In fact, I've got them. Of the obelisk and the alien being, not just the photographs, but the negatives. You may have them analyzed to prove once and for all that they are only ordinary 35mm color negatives, and in fact have not been altered in any way and have not been digitally enhanced or edited and are not computer generated. Through this analysis, it will conclusively prove the photographs and negatives of the obelisk were not processed, manufactured, or manipulated in any kind of shadow box illusion or trick, as was previously publicly claimed on the Art Bell Show, now proving that the photographic evidence of the obelisk craft is a full-size, three-dimensional object that was, in fact, simply captured on film in the woods by Jonathan Reed and his camera, thus again proving, once and for all, that they are real and genuine photos of a strange anomalous object that was in fact truly there. They've had an analysis done by Eastman Kodak in New York. So I've got the negatives. Also, I've got a new never-before-seen photograph of what they talked about, the Alien Link artifact. You remember that? Well, I've got photographs of the Alien Link artifact. And we'll have those up for the show. I've seen it, and you have it. Aha. Uh-huh. And on my show, Dr. Reed, get this, folks, for the Doubting Thomases out there, Dr. Reed will introduce to the audience Dr. Harold Chacon, or Chacon, I'm not sure, C-H-A-C-O-N, a degreed microbiologist graduating with honors from Catholic University of Puerto Rico with a B.S. Master's Program Certificate in the field of microbiology, biomedical research in cell immunology, biochemistry, and zoology, currently studying and residing in this country. The doctor, with help from his university, brace yourself, have analyzed and documented in detail organic tissue and blood samples taken from the alien creature that Jonathan and his friend Gary were able to hide away and preserve. The findings are ready to be released to the public and the entire world, in fact, on this program. He's going to actually come on the air with Dr. Reed. And that's just a little bit of what's going to happen on the 9th. So there you have it. For those of you who have been waiting for a follow-up to this program, now you've got it. Next, by the way, while we're on the subject of what's going to go on next week, we're going to delve into the incredibly fascinating world of little stuff, little things, really little things, things so little you can't see them, little machines that might run around inside your body and fix things, nanotechnology, organic nanotechnology. Charles Osman, an expert in that, will be here. And that'll be on, let me see, Tuesday night. And we're going to talk about something really interesting with Peter Hadfield on the following evening. And I'm going to kind of leave that a little bit of a mystery. And then on the third night next week, we're going to interview Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal, the actor. And I was in a pretty good conversation with Stephen prior to deciding to do the program, and it is amazing what he's into. You wouldn't know it by his movies. You just wouldn't know it. But he's a very, very spiritual person. He also is a person who believes in time travel. Now, there's a couple of things I bet you didn't know about Steven Seagal. So he'll be interesting to talk to. Also, on the 7th, one of our nation's greatest journalists, Jack Anderson, is going to be here. We're going to talk about his career and what he did, and the big fight he had with J. Edgar Hoover and a whole lot more. Jack Anderson, if you're old enough to remember him. Here's kind of an interesting story. You might want to make note of this, folks. It comes to us from the Vancouver, B.C. Province newspaper and was deposited upon my fax machine earlier today. Dateline Victoria. Headline, Y2K comes early to two Victoria hospitals. The ghost of Y2K has come to haunt Victoria's two main hospitals at the time of writing yesterday morning, when the telephones, mysteriously went dead for 2 hours. People couldn't call into Royal Jubilee Hospital, and nobody could call out. At Victoria General, people could call out and call each other internally, but nobody could dial in. The malfunction has been blamed on an unidentified glitch in TELUS computer equipment that runs the health region's main switchboard. But when the phones came back online, get this, folks, the date on the hospital's call display screens read January 1st, 2000, instead of November 23rd, the date of the transgression. Can you imagine that? So we're already beginning to see it, and it shouldn't be happening yet. So look out. I mean, there really may be something to this whole Y2K thing. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines and do whatever you want to do for the remainder of the time this hour. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art Bell.
Hi.
And happy Thanksgiving to you and Ramona. This is a longtime caller, Mike. Last time I spoke with you, I was residing in the Seattle area.
Where are you now, Mike?
And, oh, I've made my move. I am calling from you from Columbia Falls, Montana.
You went to Montana?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, quality of life, number one.
Big sky.
There are no traffic.
We lost him. Apparently the phones aren't working real well there either.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
Thank you.
Montana telephone.
Yes. No, my telephone turned upside down. There are no freeway exit signs within 130 miles from here.
How about traffic lights?
Oh, yeah, we have a few of those.
We only have one, sir.
I got a couple in this small town.
My town has one.
Where?
What do you mean where?
Well,
over on the other side, we only have one.
Montana.
We have one traffic light.
Well, must be a different Montana. There's a couple out here, but let me tell you, I love it. It is great. One thing, I used to listen to you in an optical lab for a major wholesale company in Seattle, and there's a number of us probably still working over there now that are listening to us.
So say hello.
Hello, you guys. Let's keep an eye on quality, eh? Okay. And anyway, I worked on the night shift, but I no longer do now. I work for the same company. However, I work days. I don't get to listen to much as you. But guess what? I'm sitting at the break room table the other day, and I was showing somebody some contrail pictures that I took in this area. And
yes,
Art, we've got them up here in Kalispell and all over Montana. I saw the last one as recent as
six days ago. Where you have big skies, you have big contrails.
Chemtrails, you know it.
Yeah.
And it's still ongoing.
In fact, actually in Montana, I would think with the view and vista you have, you could see the chemtrails slowly oozing from the sky for literally hundreds of miles.
I got to tell you something interesting. I got the notion of how to get some public officials' attention. I went to the Flathead County Sheriff's Department and asked to speak to their emergency response coordinator.
Oh, I bet you got a great response.
Oh, I went to the
Listen, I'm out of time, but what did they say?
They were quite interested. I spent an hour and a half with them, showing them the pictures I downloaded from the web. And
Sit right down here, sir. Have a glass of water. We'll talk to you about it. But that is interesting that they apparently took you seriously. All right, we're going to break here at the bottom of the hour and be right back. I'm Art Bell from the high desert where it's getting cold at night. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay right where you are.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Network.
Well, you all know, because of my repetitive use of it, that I love this record. It's by a little-known group called the Flirtations, and guess what I got that you can see? I got a letter from the Flirtations. That's right, they're in Great Britain, and they just wrote to me and said, "Hello, Art. First, we'd like to say happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners. Secondly, a very, very big thank you for all your support. We've re-recorded Nothing But a Heartache, and we're seriously thinking of releasing it. But we have another song that is cooking, and we'd like to have you have it first. So, Art, if you would like to do an interview with us, we're available anytime. Just let us know. All our love," and the three Flirtation sisters have signed it. And so I sent a copy along to Keith, and he's posted it up on the website with a picture of the Flirtations, a record that sort of came out of nowhere. And that's kind of neat. I get about a million emails like this one that I'm going to read you. I mean a million. Hi, Art. It's from Harry. I don't know where Harry is, but he says, "Hi, Art. First, thanks for everything you do so well. Second, please, 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 please figure out a way we can get a copy of Nothing But a Heartache by the Flirtations. I am haunted, sir. It's your fault, and you have to help me find a cure." Yeah, I know, Harry. I really am not sure where you can get a copy of that song right now. I'm sure you can do a search on the web and probably come up with something. but it's about to be re-released. Now, it'll be a new version of the same song, and I wonder if it could ever really be as good. I mean, talk about a dramatic beginning to a record. This thing just absolutely black rocks. I love that record. All right. Anyway, back to business and your calls in a moment.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
You really got to wonder what's going to happen January 1st. I mean, are you going to walk out and find that your computer is a melted mass of plastic and prior electronic parts sort of sitting there in a congealed mess on the floor? No. Are there going to be a lot of crashes? I'm beginning to think so. You know, this hospital thing and a lot of other things are kind of hints that something's coming. Hey, how many of you saw the Y2K movie? We interviewed the director of that movie for NBC, and it was kind of interesting. The of it ahead of time. I wonder what you thought of the... I kind of like the ending. The revised ending, I might add. I hope that it all works out as well, save for the revised ending, as it otherwise did in the motion picture. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. This is Ron in Redding, California.
Yes, sir.
I've been watching contrails all my life. I've always been fascinated by them, you know, because of the temperature differences up there.
Sure.
Amazing how cold it must be. But I saw something. I haven't seen this lately. I've always looked at them, even since I was five, ever since they first brought out jet planes.
Before you proceed, I can tell you how cool it is up there. Have you ever traveled internationally?
Yes.
Okay, well then, on modern airplanes, on the 747s, like when you go to Europe or Africa or Asia or whatever, they have on the screen where you are in your trip, you know, because it takes about 15 hours, in fact, 24 hours to get to South Africa when I went. And you get to a pretty good altitude, and the outside temperature goes to like 60, 70, I even saw 80 degrees below zero.
magnificent. I wish I could have seen that. Well, anyway, I'll get to what I was talking about. I saw some contrails just about 2 months ago. I tried to get through to you, but I couldn't at the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, they looked like they were melting. I never saw anything like this before. They looked like, you know, a streak. You know how they usually go straight like a rocket, like a pinch mark?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these were melting like candle wax.
That's right.
That was weird. I never saw anything like that before. Okay, Art, I'll let you go. Happy Thanksgiving.
And the very same to you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Where are you, please?
I'm in Vermont, Art.
Vermont?
Yeah.
Okay.
Konnichiwa, Art-san.
Oh, you've been to Japan.
Yeah, well, I listened to you long enough.
Actually, for you, it would be Ohayo gozaimasu.
Well,
which is good morning.
I've never been there, but I study the language. I wanted to ask you about Bob Lazar.
Yes.
And the guy that you had on one night,
Gina?
Area 51, that called in with this, and he was in a real pathos.
Oh, you mean the guy who was screaming?
And then you had a bleep out. Wait, you had a knockout of power?
Then our satellite was knocked out, yes.
Anyway, that guy, what I believe, he said that he was, that the aliens had infiltrated the government, and they were going to do some severe weather damage to us. I mean,
yes.
Is this tied, have you ever thought of the quickening in regards to this? I'm sure you have.
Of course I have.
And you know, 1,000 years ago.
And is all that manifesting itself right now?
Yeah, but every millennium. I mean, we didn't have CNN 1,000 years ago.
Listen, I've got a new book coming out.
Oh, great.
That maybe you don't know about with Whitley Strieber called The Coming Global Superstorm. And if you want something that'll scare the heck out of you, read that book.
I will.
I'm sorry to say it's based on solid science.
Well, no, I'm an avid science reader. Hey, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Let some more people call.
You gonna?
Just calling you from Vermont.
Have turkey and stuff later.
Well, I know you don't like turkey, but
no, it's
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm gonna partake.
Well, then goodbye.
Have a good evening.
I'll see you later. On the international line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. It's Eric calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
How you doing, Eric? Oh, we have echo. Wait a minute. Hold on. I always have to correct that. All right, now it's better.
Okay. I just wanted to comment on the Air Egypt disaster. It's quite interesting how the bureaucrats suddenly jumped to the defense or complained about people who were making comments about, you know, speculation as to what happened. But
well, what happened, sir, is that our State Department all of a sudden said, oh, my God, relations with the Egyptians are tanking. We can't let this happen. End of speculation. We're not going to talk about the relief pilot anymore. That's just speculation. And that all happened because of severe political pressure from the Egyptian government. And there's a lot of sensitive things going on over there in the Middle East, as you know, and we don't want to antagonize the Egyptians. So we're soft-pedaling everything.
But when I read that book about that free fall, about that the 767 that made a landing without any power,
yes,
reading it, gave me some insight as to how the aircraft functions, and it indicated that without the engines, control of rudder would be next to the control surfaces would be next to impossible.
Well, the 767 that actually glided to a landing up there in your country.
Yeah. North of where I live.
You've got to understand that, was it close to you?
Oh, yeah, just north of where I am.
I mean, that's an amazing story. The guy was at, 40-some thousand feet, lost both engines, and actually managed to glide a 767, which ought to be more like a rock.
Oh, yeah.
Into a safe landing, and everybody lived.
Yeah.
And that's the story, and it's a true story. And But you've got to remember, that pilot, in addition to being a commercial pilot, was a glider pilot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He knew how to exactly do what he had to do.
But that's not all. The quick thinking of the air traffic control personnel directed him to an abandoned, because he couldn't make it to Winnipeg Airport, where I am.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it, so they had to get him to an alternate site, and all he knew was this abandoned airport, airstrip somewhere.
Yeah, and there were
a few. It was used by hot rodders to go up and down the strip. They look up in the air, and they see this aircraft coming at them. No lights, nothing, no power, no noise.
That's right. They
all scramble to get out of the way. But they had the presence of mind to line up their cars along the strip, aim the headlights across to light it up.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, so they come along, and this jet's got this, a supposedly abandoned airstrip, and it's all lit up for him. Like an honor guard of cars all up and down the strip.
Must have been the damnedest sight anybody ever saw.
It sure must have been, yeah. And actually what they did was they repaired the aircraft, loaded up with fuel, and it just flew away.
And took off.
Yep.
I know, it's an amazing, amazing story. And when I first heard it, like a lot of other things, I went, oh, give me a break. Can't be true.
Well, I remember the day when it happened.
And then I got a million newspaper stories faxed to me, so I know it's absolutely true.
But they're saying that once without the auxiliary power, there's this ram turbine that you use to give you at least minimal control of the air surfaces. And if they had turned on the auxiliary power, it would have given control on the flaps. And without it, it probably would have had his flaps locked upwards.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. They made a movie,
yeah.
And I really would like to get a copy of that movie.
Oh, I saw it.
Anybody
has
it. You saw the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Canadian made?
I believe so.
Well, maybe somebody in Canada will be kind enough to ship me a copy. I'd really love to see it.
Yeah, it was just good little movie.
All right, my friend.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, and take care. True story. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is Roger of Chillicothe, Illinois.
Roger, extinguish your radio for us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
No.
We're on a 6-second delay. It will confuse you and me.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to talk about an incident that happened to me at the beginning of this year. I was coming home from work one time, and this was in January. And as I'm coming home north on this pretty busy stretch of highway, mm-hmm. I'm passing under this, it's an area where there's like an off ramp, okay, that goes on to a major interstate, major route, and they got these really big, tall those big street lights, like interstate lights that are kind of a pinkish orange type deal.
Oh yes.
Okay, and so I'm going down the highway, going north in the right hand lane, just before I approach this light burns out as I approach it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this happened to me about, I'd say, a dozen times in the end of January, first part of February. At one point, I was thinking, wow, this is kind of a weird coincidence, you know?
You thought you were burning the lights out.
I don't know. I didn't know what was happening, you know? So I came home from work one day, and I'm in the passing lane thinking, oh, let's see, you know, what happens.
Right.
And it happened to me again. With the lights on the other side as I'm approaching it. Just one light burns out, okay?
Well, now, let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
Some of these lights have... This was during what? Dusk or dawn?
The middle of the night. Middle of the night.
Some of these lights have sensors on them.
Uh-huh.
So that when the sun comes up, they automatically go off.
Uh-huh.
And it may be they were oversensitized and your headlights turned them off.
Okay.
That's possible.
That is
possible. The other possibility is you have a very magnetic personality.
Who knows? But this happened to me also one night after work. I went to pick my children up in Peoria, and I was taking a different route home, and it happened to me again. Now, this was kind of interesting because I never told my wife about this.
Mm.
Okay, we got two different cars, two-car family. And one night, we had some friends over and their families and stuff. We're, you know, sitting around having some, you know, cocktails, whatever. And I told one of my best friends about this, and there was, you know, mixed company here with us. And I told them all about this, and I was like, you know, what do you think the odds of this happening
are?
You know, yeah, it's going to be.
I mean, how do things go in your home? Your TV, your radio, your toaster, your microwave?
No. Nothing.
No problems?
No.
I was going to say, don't get anywhere near me.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But as I'm telling my friends about this, my wife has a couple paper routes she does in the morning, okay, that she took over for the kids that, you know, they got uninterested, and so she took them over. And I'm talking to my friends about this thing that's happened, and I'm like, yeah, what do you think the odds are of that, blah, blah, blah. And my wife says, you got to be kidding me. And I was like, no, why? She goes, it happens to me in the temple on the paper route all the time. In town, the regular street lights in our small town of Chillicothe,
perhaps,
population 6,000.
Perhaps it's in the blood.
I don't know what it is. And it just kind of made me think, and what the first thing that came to my mind was the book was called The Day After Roswell.
Yes.
I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, my gosh, you know, the the stickers that I have to buy in Illinois, you know, every year with the holograms on it. I mean, I'm trying to think of any kind of explanation for this. I never could come up with it, but it stopped, you know, just as...
Well, that is weird. Thank you. I've also heard stories of people walking down the street and simply walking by lights and having them go off. Now, who could explain that? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Art, how are you?
Fine. Where are you?
Let me turn down the radio. I had to run over here and get it real quick.
Hey, yes.
Oh, boy. Joe from Boston. I haven't talked to you for a long time.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. I'd like to extend the olive branch if we have a few minutes. I'd like to explain something. Maybe it's miscommunication. I know a long time ago, I think it sounded to me like you said there was no place for blind people as guests, and I...
No, I did not.
Well, I don't mean that in a nasty way.
No. I just plain never said that.
Okay. But I'd like to help you, and maybe you could help me. Do you have a very high phone bill, even with the 7 cents a minute?
Oh, I don't know. I don't pay it. You know, I'm going to be calling a guy next week in Japan, and I'm going to do a five-hour show with him in Japan, all the way from Japan. So, I don't have high phone bills. I have monstrous.
Well, I can get you a phone bill for $49 a month if we can talk privately.
That's a little hard to believe.
No, I'm not kidding you. I'll promise you I'll pay part of your bill.
$49 a month?
Yes, I'm on the service right now.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding.
Hey, it sounds good. Your connection is excellent.
No, I'm not using it now, but I'd say for local...
Oh, you're not using it now?
No, not for 800, but for long distance, local and national and international. I just joined the service.
All right, Joe, here's what I would say. I know you're anxious to, you know, get the word out, so I know. And no doubt you get a little kickback, right? But I'll take a look. I don't believe it, $49 a month. And I call over all over the world. Half of the shows I do are with people somewhere outside the country, so I will believe when I see. Coming up in a moment, a doctor who's got visual evidence of reincarnation. Should be very interesting. Coming to us from the San Francisco Bay Area, from the high desert, where it's about 37 degrees out there right now. I'm Art Bell. Stay right there.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999. Started so easy. You want to carry on. Lost in love and don't know. Thinking about fell out of touch, but I'm back on my feet and eager to be what you want.
A highwayman along the coast roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The masters hung me in the spring of 25. But I am still alive. I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft and furled the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across the river deep and wide.
where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that gray tomb that knows no sound. But I'm still around. I'll always be around, 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 around.
Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24, 1999.
This should give you some idea of what we're going to be talking about. Reincarnation. That's what this song is all about, you know. And we've got a physician coming on.
Perhaps I may become a highwayman again.
Not many physicians will talk about this.
Or I may simply be a single drop of rain.
Dr. Walter Siskiyou will, however,
will
in a moment.
And I'll be back again, and again, and again, and again, and again.
Good morning from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. Stay right where you are. We're about to launch into another world.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Just a brief note before we launch here. I just got a fax from Los Angeles. The news is just now breaking that apparently two airplanes nearly collided tonight at LAX, that's down in LA, on KTLA television at 10 o'clock this evening. It was reported that one of the pilots, quote, thought he heard an instruction, end quote, to turn the plane onto another runway where it was nearly hit by another plane. Thought he heard an instruction? Dan, who sent the fax, said, does this make you as nervous as it makes me? In addition to these really sophisticated flight simulators that these pilots are tested on, it seems to me one of the first questions ought to be, you know, line them all up in a row, saying, everybody raise your right hand. Runway 2 right, that kind of stuff. Turn right, following heading, this kind of stuff. Right, left, basic, right? All right. Now, the world of reincarnation, obviously, playing the song I did coming into the hour, it gives you a little hint. That was Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, and Chris Christopherson. You didn't hear the whole thing, but you heard enough to get the idea. An American medical doctor, it says here, has actual proof of reincarnation. Again, underlined, actual proof of reincarnation. One of the few physicians willing to even discuss this subject, Dr. Walter Siskiyou, MD-MPH, says, quote, "I can tell you unequivocally that reincarnation is real," end quote. Using public records and historical archives, he has tracked down documentation and portraits of deceased people who are now alive again. Dr. Siskiyou has images of more than 50 people who lived in colonial America and matching photographs of the same people living today. He reports they look the same, have the same personality traits, same talents, in some cases pursue similar types of work. Another astonishing documented fact discovered by Dr. Siskiyou is that family units recur. While doing research for a new book, the good doctor determined that people sometimes incarnate in groups. A board-certified occupational medicine physician who practices medicine full-time, Dr. Siskiyou, was formerly medical director of the 76 Products Company of the Unical Corporation. He was a Phi Beta Kappa graduate of the University of Illinois and the University of Illinois Medical School. In other words, he's a mainstream kind of guy. Doctor, welcome.
Good evening, and happy Turkey Day to everybody.
Well, pretty nearly here on the West Coast. Yes, indeed.
By the way, Art, it's pronounced Semkew.
Semkew.
Yeah, that's better.
I said Siskiyou, didn't I?
You did.
Mm. Doctor, you have a little hum on your phone. Are you on a portable?
No, I'm not.
Are you near a light or something?
Yeah, let me try this.
It's got a little, kind of got hum on it.
Yeah, I don't think I can get rid of it.
Oh, really? Maybe you have another line or something or another phone you could pick up at the bottom of the hour?
I'll see.
Okay. These are pretty amazing claims for a physician to be making.
That's true.
And I've got a million things I want to ask you, but I think the first thing I want to ask you is, what do your colleagues say about this?
Well, they don't say a lot since I really don't talk about it to them too much.
You don't?
No.
A doctor would have, well, let's see, the kind of medicine you practice, what kind of patients do you have generally?
Well, I do work-related medicine, and for most of my career, 11 years, I was a medical director for an oil company, Unical 76. And in that capacity, I supervised medical issues for people working at refineries, offshore oil platforms, pipeline workers, tanker truck drivers, that
sure.
sort of thing.
Hmm. I have talked to a lot of emergency room physicians and other crisis-type medical people, and they have some pretty wild stories to tell about when people pass away.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard things that would curl your hair. I've heard from relatives who have, this one will really get you, it's got me, in the room with the monitoring equipment running and all the rest of it. They knew this person was about to pass away, and the relative was there, and she threw her arms, literally hugged the person who was about to pass away. And at the moment they were hugging, the person passed away. And she felt, she actually fully claimed, she felt this person's spirit move through her body.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear stories of this kind in the medical world?
I don't so much. I don't deal so much in emergency medicine where people are passing away. We try to prevent that sort of thing on my end, you know.
Sure.
So, my information really comes from a totally different source, and it really has nothing to do with my medical career.
Yeah. But in a way it does. In other words, you're dealing with people's physical bodies. Yet you believe in reincarnation, the implication of which is you obviously believe in the presence of a soul separate from or included with the physical body.
Right. And, you know, it's not that I believe in reincarnation. I know it's true, and I have a lot of evidence of it. And it's not just bits and pieces like from regressions or from memories of childhood. I mean, I literally sort of have an encyclopedia full of information. I mean, I have so much data, I can't even get through it all. And, you know, I'd like to sort of devote myself to organizing it and presenting it to people. But it's a lot of evidence, so it's not really an issue of belief.
Well, what launched you on this quest for the proof you say you have? Why did you become interested?
Well, it sort of happened to me. I didn't consciously say I wanted to find proof of reincarnation. What happened was back in 1984, I was doing my residency in occupational medicine, and a friend of mine said that she had seen this medium who is supposed to channel your guides through and your spiritual guides talk to you. Well, this sounded a little strange to me, but, you know, it sounded interesting, and it only cost $50, and I thought, what the hell, I'll give it a try. So I went to the medium, and the medium started to channel my guides. And when the medium channeled the guides, the voice of the medium changed drastically. Mm. You know, it was like a totally different entity.
Mm.
And they basically, you know, told me about my family life and what I'd be doing in the future. And in terms of my personal life, they were very, very accurate, you know, about my family and the issues that were present. And then they told me about this lifetime that I had in colonial America. And I wasn't really expecting this. This was not really billed as a past life reading or anything. It kind of came out of the blue. And they told me that I was this particular person in colonial America, and that if I went back and researched this person, I would see myself. Well, I didn't know what to make of it.
So in other words, they gave you a name and everything.
A name and a place. And at the time, I was living in Chicago, and this was supposed to have taken place on the East Coast, and I really wasn't in a position to just get up and go and you know, pursue this. And I basically tucked it away and didn't really make much out of it. And I took a job in California, the job with Unical I was telling you about, and I got married, and we bought a house, and I landscaped the yard, and didn't think too much about this reading.
Mm-hmm.
And the marriage lasted about 7 years, and then after I got divorced, I was in a better financial position to travel. And at one point in time, I just got this really strong intuition to go research this life. And I remember very distinctly that it was kind of out of the blue, whereas I had not really thought about this reading for 12 years or so. All of a sudden, I just really had this urge to go find out about this lifetime.
Kind of like a compulsion.
Yeah, kind of like that. I mean, it was just a strong intuition that I should do it.
How many details, other than the name, did you have about your supposed earlier life?
That's pretty much it. Just name and area where I was supposed to live.
And when the years that you lived?
It was in colonial America, just before the American Revolution.
Okay.
And so basically, I arranged for a medical meeting back at Harvard so that I could, you know, go to this medical meeting, get to the East Coast, and I started to try to research this lifetime.
Right.
And I went to historical societies and the genealogic societies, and I found a lot of information, actually, and there were a lot of portraits available. And as it turned out, people do incarnate in groups, you know, based on shared karma, emotional attachments, and common goals. Well, the thing that made so many portraits available was that two of the people in my group were portrait painters. And so a lot of the people that I was around during that time had their portraits done. And, you know, not only did I recognize myself, you know, but I started to recognize people around me in this lifetime back in that lifetime, you know.
How shocking was it? In other words, when you saw the portrait of yourself, how really close was it?
It was quite close, you know, but what was more shocking, see, the thing that makes this believable is not just one person. I mean, if it was just me, if I just saw this one portrait of me and researched that person's life and the personality traits, I still wouldn't be convinced.
Interesting, but coincidental.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What started to make me believe that this was real when I could identify recurring family units. So if you can imagine,
wow.
We were going to talk about that movie, What Dreams Can Come.
Oh, I did. I asked you to watch What Dreams May Come and The Sixth Sense.
Right, and I did.
Oh, you're all cool.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to that.
But just as an example, in that movie, there's a family that is together in the beginning, and then they all sooner or later die, and then they meet on the other side. And then at the end of the movie, the husband and wife, Robin Williams and his wife, decide to come and incarnate again as
yes.
another as a couple again.
That was the ending, yes.
And if the movie continued, I would project that their kids from before would also come back to them as their children.
They left that one hanging. That was very interesting, wasn't
right.
it?
Right. But that really is the way it works. And I have multiple family units that I have where the mother and the father look the same, the kids look the same from the last lifetime to this lifetime. And not just one, but maybe five or six of these family groups. And when you see, you know, the interconnections and that the personality traits of all these people are the same, there many times their vocations are the same.
Yes, but imagine reincarnating with one's screeching hellish ex-wife.
That could happen. In fact, it's pretty likely to happen, you know, because what happens is you do have to work out karma with people that you had a bad time with.
Really?
And I'll give you, later on I can give you a specific example.
You looking forward to another life with your ex?
I still love her in many ways.
Okay, well, all right.
Yeah.
There are some who don't work out that way. They're not quite so amicable at the last moment.
Well, unfortunately, they're going to probably have to sooner or later become amicable because that's just how it works. When you have things to work out with people, you have to come back together again. And the thing is, actually, this is an interesting issue, the whole issue of why we don't remember past lives or why we don't remember who we were. And
in other way to put it is, what good is reincarnation if you have no conscious memory of a prior life and no lessons have been learned and you have to learn them all over again, the hard way usually,
yeah.
What purpose is served by reincarnation?
Well, the answer is it's the only way to learn. And if you ask me what's the reason that we come on Earth to live, it's a very simple answer. Earth is proof of the pudding. It makes you really see who you are. And I can use an analogy just from this lifetime where I had to kind of deal with parts of myself that I didn't realize were there. And this had to do with I grew up playing hockey. And when I was younger, I was kind of the small guy who played forward, and I was always afraid of the defensemen who were going to crush me. Well, then I had a growth spurt, and then I was the big guy. And then I started to play defense. And
crush people.
And all of a sudden, I realized I like crushing people. And you know, I had this whole image of myself as a sensitive, you know, guy who likes philosophy and poetry, and I'm going to be a doctor and all these nice things. Well, all of a sudden, I had to realize there's this, like, real potentially aggressive streak in me. I mean, I never got into fights.
We're at the bottom of the hour. Hold on just a moment. Yes, I saw an interview with an NFL linebacker the other day. I forget who it was, but his biggest wish was, he said, I can't wait to get out on the field and really hit somebody, and I mean really crush them out there. And, you know, you could see his eyes light up as he considered the prospect of crushing somebody on the other team, and he was living for that. a little bit of all of that in some of us, huh?
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Far, we've been traveling far. Without a home, not without a star. Only want to be free. We huddle close, hang on to a dream. On the boats and on.
Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
Good morning, everybody. My guest is Dr. Walter Semkew. Almost sounds like an explosive, doesn't it? And what he has to say is a little bit that way. He doesn't think there is reincarnation. He knows there's reincarnation. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm Art Bell. Stay right where you are. And yes, happy Thanksgiving to most of the country now, sweeping to the west and headed toward the Hawaiian Islands soon.
Explore your universe with Coast to Coast AM.
Assuming there's life like ours on other planets in this universe, do you think they too might be looking for this God particle or this question of who are we? How did we get here? Or do you think they even have the answer by now?
If they're sentient, intelligent beings, I have no doubt in my mind they're asking the same questions that we're asking. And the day you find a being that's not looking is the day you probably found God.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has
been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
All right, back now to Dr. Walter SemQ, who does not suggest there might be reincarnation. He knows there is reincarnation, and he has visual evidence to prove it. Here he is once again. Dr. Walter, back.
Hello. And by the way, if I could just mention that the bottom line conclusions that I've sort of drawn from analyzing all this evidence about reincarnation is in a book that I wrote, and it's called Astrology for Regular People. And it's not really a book just on astrology. It integrates astrology with world religions, including Christianity and Buddhism and Hindu beliefs. And one of the bottom lines is that in one lifetime, you can be Christian. In another lifetime, you can be Jewish. In another lifetime, you can be Islamic. So all this kind of focus on one particular religion is really sort of misguided.
Well, then, Doctor, here's what I would ask. Why are the people, then, of these various religions, which have cross-pollinated, in effect, religiously, so ardently still bent on killing each other because of the differences?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. And you know, it really goes to the whole issue of the spiritual evolution of a person. And I kind of explained this in the book, which is called Astrology for Regular People. But the way that I see it is we all come into Earth lives to learn and grow and essentially to become more powerful. And the first step is to develop a strong ego. And when we first come into life, we don't have a strong ego. When we first start our cycles on Earth, we don't have a strong ego. We have to build it. And then it's only after we have a really strong ego and sense of identity that we can start questioning who we really are. That's when people, in the beginning, when people are building egos, they focus on what makes them unique. They buy expensive cars or whatever, and they think, I am this car. You know, what establishes my identity is the things
Well, that's because we all watch television and we see the guy with the cool car gets the cool girl.
Right. But that's what I would say is in the first half of evolution. And in the same way, we identify with our ethnic background or our religious background. We identify with these, what makes us separate. In the book, I use this analogy that you can look at all of life as a big web. And this is actually an old Hindu concept, but Christ also talks about it. And you can think of all of existence as made up of a big web, and all the knots that make up the web or the net are individual people. But each person is interconnected in this web by all the cords of the web. Well, in the beginning, when we're just trying to form our egos, it's like we're trying to develop a stronger or bigger knot, you know, the cross link between the cords. And thinking about the whole web is too confusing. And that's when people kind of focus on separateness. You know, how am I different and how am I better than other people?
Can I try something out on you?
Sure.
You said in the beginning we don't really have an ego, and we that's right. We're babies and we're children and we're innocent and we haven't really built the ego yet. It's a slow, ongoing, continuous process through adulthood. But also at the end of life, we tend to sublimate the ego. So it kind of comes and then goes.
Right. No, I think, you know, and it's an interesting thing in principle in embryology is that I think the term is phylogeny follows ontogeny, that the development of the embryo follows the development of the species.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, I think that the evolution of a soul over many, many lifetimes is sort of reflected in the individual lifetime of one person, where as children, we're all kind of helpless and powerless, and the first thing we have to do is learn to survive and become powerful. And in the process, a lot of times we do dumb things. And it, you know, people who are most likely to hurt other people are males between the age of like 20 and 30.
Yeah, I had my, you know, I did that. I hurt people.
Yeah, and so then, but then after we reach a certain level of maturity where we don't have to prove ourselves and we don't have to prove to ourselves and others that we're powerful, then we start trying to understand our place in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mellow out and
that's right.
Pursue more spiritual endeavors.
That's right.
And I think basically that's the whole process of incarnating into Earth in a nutshell.
I know, but where is the progression? That's what is missing for me in the concept of reincarnation. In other words, we still have to begin as babies without an ego, without spirituality specifically, and we progress, we get an ego, we begin to mellow as we age, we become more spiritual until the end when our ego sort of leaves and we tend to take earthly possessions and say, the hell with this, who needs them?
No, well, there definitely is a progression, and people, one thing that's also very obvious to me in doing this research, past life research, is people bring in their level of spiritual progression from before. And the reason that I'm talking to you today, and the reason that I've done all this research and have pursued it, is because I worked on all this stuff before. And I brought it with me. And I remember...
In another life.
Hmm?
In another life. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely... A person's level of spiritual awareness, pretty much, you start off where you left off. And I remember I was a very philosophical, metaphysical kind of person before. And basically, I'm picking up where I left off before.
Well, why would a very philosophical, metaphysical person become a very hands-on kind of profession like you have, becoming a doctor, a physician? Why? Why wouldn't you gravitate toward, I don't know, being in a seminary or visiting the Dalai Lama or whatever?
Well, I think there's several reasons for it. One, I think that, and another thing that I want to explain, again, based on this kind of research that I've done and seeing how these karmic connections that I've had have come into my life over time, it's very clear to me that we all have a predestined life path. And in the book,
really?
I call it your itinerary.
Huh.
And before you're ever born, you plan out what you have to do based on shared karma that you have with people and emotional attachments, as well as goals.
Are we like marionettes?
No, but see, the whole beauty of it is we still have free will. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying about the whole point of Earth life is it's the proof of the pudding. We have free will to act out, and by doing so, we really see who we are. As kind of a simple example, I mean, everybody knows the Ten Commandments, and if everybody followed the Ten Commandments, it would be a pretty nice world. But many people don't.
I'm laughing because one night I did a survey of my audience. I don't think it's ever been done on radio before. And I asked people to call in and say, tell me how many of the Ten Commandments they have broken. And some people went away and reviewed the Ten Commandments, not recalling them all. But the average at the end of the day, and I had a few tens, by the way, but the average was about six at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, it's basically Earth life, we demonstrate who we are through our free will and actions, but we still have a predetermined itinerary or life path that takes us into the karmic scenarios that we need to go into. But once we're there, we still have free will on how we behave, and we can make the same mistakes, or we can learn.
Progress or regress?
Right.
All right. I've heard a lot of people talk about reincarnation as you are now speaking of it, but I have never heard anybody put forth the theory or the, I'm sure you would say fact, that not only do we reincarnate, but we reincarnate physically. In other words, we always imagine a spirit, a spiritual soul that we have that may reincarnate, but that it might come down in an entirely different body that has no physical likeness whatsoever to the prior physical body occupied. But you're saying that the proof lies in the fact that that actually we come back looking much like our prior life.
Yeah, it seems like there's like a spiritual genetic code, and there's like a imprint or fingerprint that our spirits kind of have. And then when a spirit puts down another body, it has the same traits, and personality traits are the same too. You know, and it doesn't mean that you're always going to do the same thing or do the same work, though there is a tendency towards that, but the way that you approach things.
Yeah, but the physical similarities that have caused you to become a believer beyond any question, that to me is amazing. I mean, how did you, other than obviously the research on yourself, you began researching others.
Yeah, it's a group of 50 that I have. And I have portraits of these people from before and photographs of them now, side by side. And the physical resemblances are amazing. And the family groups, I have whole families that are back together again. And I have four or five families that are back together again. I'll give you one of the more spectacular examples. In the prior lifetime, I knew a fellow who was career military. And he married a widow. And they had a couple kids. Well, in this lifetime, he's career military again. He married his wife when she was young, you know, so he married the same woman.
Right.
They had two kids. The kids looked the same. Well, then they got divorced. And the wife remarried, and she's extremely happy in her new marriage, much to the chagrin of my friend who is the military guy.
Right.
When she got remarried and they said that she was very happy, I just had a hunch that I bet you it was the first husband from the past life who died. And then, you know,
that
they
she had
got
found.
Married.
That she had
so I
found.
Said, I said, please get me a picture of this guy.
So in other words, you're really talking about soulmates here.
Well, it's karmic bonds. You know, I don't think you have one single soulmate. People who feel like soulmates are simply people that you have strong karmic ties to, that you've had many lifetimes before with. But what I was trying to say is the new husband in this lifetime looks just like the first husband in the last lifetime.
Got you.
And so it's like all these interconnections that, you know, it's too much to be coincidence.
But going back to what I said earlier, you're suggesting that your karmic sentence, probably a poor word to use, the karmic life you may have to live may include living with the screaming, screeching bitch of an ex-wife that you divorced.
Well, let me give you the specific example of what's happened in my life. And it kind of illustrates also the reason about why we can't remember who we were. Basically, when I met the person that I had married, it was really an unusual situation where I was just visiting Chicago for a weekend. I was already living in California. And we met kind of on a blind date, and we fell in love, like, instantly. And that's how karmic relationships happen. You know, it's like they defy all logic.
I know.
You just connect with the person, and there's no logical reason why it should happen the way it did.
And you know instantly.
Right.
It's not one of those slow building things. That happened to me with my current wife, Ramona. We knew, we looked into each other's eyes at the moment we met, and within days, we knew beyond any shadow of any doubt, this was it, period.
And by the way, one thing I'd like to mention, too, is that's where the Buddhists, I think, have it a little wrong, where they say that to be happy, you have to get rid of desire. Really, desire is what leads you along your karmic path. And falling in love with people, you fall in love with people because you're supposed to fall in love with them because you're supposed to spend time with them.
Right.
And so, really, desire is a key tool of karma.
Huh.
And if you even think about it, the people who try to seek enlightenment, that's because they desire enlightenment.
Desire, that's really an interesting line. Desire is a key tool of karma.
Yeah. Desire is what leads us to where we have to go.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So what we attribute to raging hormones when we're young may actually be more attributable to something that we have to do in this lifetime with somebody.
Right.
All right. Hold on, Doctor. Oh, they are special, these women in our lives, aren't they? I'm Art Bell. Dr. Walter Semkew is my guest. We're talking about reincarnation. We'll be right back.
Keep the trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Fix the world today. Because I know what's missing. Fanny rolled his big sleeves up, and a brand new world began. He created a woman and a lot of loving for a man. Whoa, yes he did. With just 100 pounds of clay, he made my life worth living. And
finding a job tomorrow morning, got a little something I wanna do. Gonna buy a sort of something I can ride in. I take my girl back to something that you're driving. I'm gonna buy her pretty presents.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's now Thanksgiving here on the West Coast. Thanksgiving is now racing across the Pacific toward all of you in Hawaii and the other islands. Kind of the way Y2K is going to race across the world, time zone by time zone. Don't forget, we'll be here early on that infamous day. See what really happens. You know, thinking about the discussion we've been having, love written down in history. Maybe it does happen again and again. What do you think? Reincarnation? I'm Art Bell, and my guest is Dr. Walter Semkew. And he doesn't suggest that reincarnation may be a fact. He says it is a fact, and actually, he's got the visual proof.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Explore your universe with Coast to Coast AM.
Assuming there's life like ours on other planets in this universe, do you think they too might be looking for this God particle, or this question of who are we? How did we get here? Or do you think they even have the answer by now?
If they're sentient, intelligent beings, I have no doubt in my mind they're asking the same questions that we're asking. And the day you find a being that's not looking is the day you probably found God.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
Back now to Dr. Walter Semkew, and Dr. Semkew has, using public records and historical archives, actually tracked down documentation and portraits of deceased people who he says are now alive again. So this is not sort of an idle conversation about reincarnation. It's a lot more than that. Doctor, welcome back. Where have you documented this? Do you have a website up? Are some of these photographs in your book? Where?
Well, in the book, Astrology for Regular People, I explain how it all works. I mean, everything we're talking about now is in the book. And in the book, what we use is color illustrations and cartoon characters to show how, you know, people look the same from lifetime to lifetime and so forth. Right now, I can't really publish the information because I need to get signed releases from all these people who are alive now.
Believe me, I know about that.
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of an uphill task because a lot of these people don't believe in reincarnation. And one thing I would like to do in the future is, you know, like how in the movie What Dreams May Come, they show, you know, how the couple comes back and reincarnates, but it really kind of stops with them just coming back. What I'd like to do is write a screenplay where I show in detail how, you know, this whole karmic group from before is back now and how all the karma plays out. And what I can do is use the same actors, you know, from one lifetime to another, but use different names, you know, fictitious names for this lifetime. I can use the real names from the last lifetime, use fictitious names for this lifetime, and this way I can, you know, kind of show how it really works based on actual evidence, not just, you know, somebody's idea or fantasy.
Doctor, do you think love is the strongest force in the universe?
I guess I would agree with that.
When you watched that movie, let us talk about that for a moment, What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams. God, what a movie. There was a momentary, I don't know if you caught it, there was one reference to God, short, sweet, and almost went by. If you blinked, you missed it. I think at one point Robin Williams said something about God, and the answer by the guide was, he's up there. That was it. That, in the whole movie, that was the only reference to God. And the storyline, of course, is Robin Williams follows or tries to follow his wife into hell. She commits suicide, and she has, in effect, condemned herself to hell. Do you believe there's a... When we pass away, is there a kind of a staging area for souls? Is there a traditional heaven? Is there a traditional hell? Or do we have all that messed up?
Well, first of all, I don't really want to comment on that because I don't really know. You know, one thing I really want to be clear about is what I have evidence of and what I know from evidence. And
all right, then try this one. With respect to the evidence you have, is there an indication that there is a period of time passage between incarnations?
Well, right now, this group was 250 years ago and before, so obviously there's a time passage, but it's quite feasible that there are other lifetimes in between. So, you know, we're kind of getting into realms where I would be speculating. I mean, I can tell you what I think happens is that once you die, you go through a life review. First of all, you do, I think I agree in the movie that you create your own reality.
Yes.
So if you believe in a Christian version of heaven, you will see, you will create a Christian version of where you go.
Gotcha.
If you're Islamic, you'll create an Islamic kind of vision of where you go.
Okay.
And then after you get used to where you're at, then you kind of have to do some work and learning. And I think everybody goes through a life review where they see what they did in the past lifetime. But I think what happens, and part of this is based on reading people like Rudolf Steiner, that we actually have to see what we did to other people from their point of view.
I know a past life researcher, Dr. Goldberg. Are you familiar with that name?
No, no.
Brilliant man, and he has done some real jaw-dropping research on past lives. In other words, he has done regressive hypnosis.
Right.
And has come up, doctor, with actual facts that he has gone and checked out in different cities about people.
Mm-hmm.
And he has absolutely come up with indisputable proof. I should put the two of you together, probably.
That would be great.
And so I'm kind of a believer in all of this, but I am curious about the process, which, of course, as you said, would call for speculation. I thought perhaps, since you've tracked one life to the next, that you might lean toward a conclusion based on your evidence that there is a span of time that passes between incarnations, or perhaps not. Perhaps, after all, what would account, for example, for children that are here for a very short span of time?
Mm-hmm.
What would account for aborted children? What would account for the four-year-old that dies of cancer? Maybe these spans of time are in that arena, or maybe there's a kind of a staging area.
Yeah, I really don't know. You know, I don't know the specifics. I have my own personal intuitions on how it works. But one thing, you know, I do really want to do is kind of separate what I know based on evidence and what speculation.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. That's good. Fair.
But I'll give you, I have a kind of nice story of how karma works and why we can't know who we were before.
All right, fire away.
And it kind of has to do with relationships. We were talking about that before.
Yes.
And basically, when I was married, I told you before that, you know, we instantaneously fell in love. I mean, it was just, it was meant to be. And she was living in Chicago at the time. I was living in California. And so she moved out to California, and the first couple years were wonderful. I mean, they were blissful. And then as time went on, she started to pine away sort of for her friends and everybody in Chicago. And, you know, I was thoroughly, you know, into my job and everything in California. And basically she kept threatening to leave because she wanted to go back to Chicago, and which was extremely painful for me. And because I did love her and I liked being married, but this happened over and over and over, and over two dozen times, you know, she seriously had threatened to leave me, you know, basically reject me.
Right.
And it was extremely painful. And then finally I just realized this isn't working, and I finally was the one who decided to get out of the marriage. And as I had mentioned, I didn't get into this past life research until after my divorce. Well, when I started to do the past life research, I realized that my ex-wife was my son in the past lifetime.
What?
Yeah, my ex-wife was my son. And in that lifetime, he had done some bad things, squandered money, and, you know, there were some reasons, good reasons for me to be very upset. But what happened is I sort of basically disowned her. or disowned him, rejected
in a past life.
In the past lifetime. So what happened was we had to be together for a period of time, one, so we get to know each other and appreciate each other,
and
but
then,
also...
And then you experienced the rejection that you laid upon him.
Exactly. And then here's...
Karma, folks, karma.
That's karma. That's karma in action. Here's though, another interesting sequence. I just recently I'm getting involved in a relationship now where... It's, again, a karmic thing because on the first day we met, we were starting to talk about getting married. Again, it was like an instantaneous thing.
Right.
And her name is Nadia, and if she's listening, I love you. But basically, we both know who we were in that lifetime. We were engaged in that other in another lifetime. For 3 years, and we really loved each other, but we didn't end up getting married. But I wasn't able to know about my ex-wife, who she was, because I had to suffer, and I never would have suffered if I knew what was going on. If I knew that this marriage was supposed to be limited to 7 years, if I knew that we were just going through karma and it's going to end, I would never have suffered.
In other words, you would never have married her. You'd have said, "I don't need this."
Or during the relationship, if I knew that this was a process of karmic, you know, payback, and that I wasn't supposed to be married to her forever, then I wouldn't have suffered emotionally. I wouldn't have felt the same rejection. Whereas now, since Nadia and I think we don't have any bad karma. We just have good karma.
Right now, though, I mean, by your own description of how this works, you may have a blissful year or two. I mean, I don't want to suggest this to you as a possibility, but you've got to admit it's a possibility.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Everybody starts out thinking they're going to be married forever.
Right.
Always.
Right.
And doesn't always work out that way. In fact, about half the cases, I think, presently in the country.
But my bet is that the reason that we know who we were before is we don't have that kind of karmic thing to work out.
Well, that may be entirely possible.
But you're right. Time will tell.
Time will tell, indeed. But, yeah, I believe that you can feel these things. I believe in that. What is your, does your wife to be, I presume, share your views of the way all this works?
Yeah, she eats it up. I mean, and that's interesting too. It's like some people, when you talk about this kind of information, it really kind of freaks them out. And there are some people where I can just talk about this a little bit, and they just can't listen. You know, it's like too threatening, or too weird, or whatever. But with this woman, Nadia, I mean, it's like we talk and it's like, we're on the same wavelength.
Sure.
And she actually has a lot of, intuition and kind of psychic abilities herself. And, so it's like, that's why I think it's a good thing. It's like we're totally on the same wavelength. Whereas before, even though my ex-wife and I fell in love originally, we never really were on the same wavelength.
Many other religions, Doctor, embrace reincarnation. I have heard that reincarnation was originally in the Bible.
It is in the Bible.
That it was reincarnation was actually voted out by men.
Yeah, well, let me read you a few phrases. I mean, first of all, the ancient Jews were always expecting that their prophets were reincarnating. So, for instance, Moses was supposed to be the reincarnation of Abel, and King David was supposed to be the reincarnation of Adam.
Sure.
And then Jesus's disciples believed in reincarnation, and in the New Testament, there's a passage where Jesus says, "Who do men say I am?" And the disciples reply, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." So the disciples were trying to figure out who Jesus was. You know, he must have been one of the prophets before. You know, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And Herod, who's the one who had John the Baptist beheaded, he also was trying to figure out who Jesus was. And then there's another passage where it says, the scribes say Elias must come first. And then Jesus replies, that Elias is come already, and they knew him not. And the disciples understood that he spake unto him of John the Baptist. And then he goes on, among them that were born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias. He that has ears to hear, let him hear.
All right, but for all of that...
Jesus is specifically saying that John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elias.
But for all of that, believe me, fundamentalists will come to you and they will say, oh, come on now, look. In other areas of the Bible, it says man will live but one time until he is resurrected. So there's lots of controversy there.
Well, I guess it depends on if you go back to the actual sayings of... I mean, I'm not a theologian. I can't tell you exactly
what the
argument is. But I can tell you this, that the early church fathers did believe in reincarnation, at least some of them. And being a church father was no small thing. I mean, that's kind of like being in the Christian Hall of Fame.
Right.
And, like, here's a passage from one of the church fathers named Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. But he says, the soul is immaterial and invisible in nature. It at one time puts off one body and exchanges it for a second.
Yes.
Then he says again, every soul comes into this world strengthened by the victories or weakened by the defeats of the previous life. Then another church father, St. Gregory, says that it's absolutely necessary that the soul should be healed and purified. If it doesn't take place during this life on earth, it must be accomplished in future lives.
Who actually voted all of this out?
Okay, well, what happened is, you know, the church became very political. When Constantine made it the official religion of Rome, it was no longer just a religion, it was a religion and a state. You know, the political power and the church were kind of intertwined.
It remains so.
And there was a emperor named Justinian who basically didn't want reincarnation in church doctrine. And basically, there were two factions to the church, and you can kind of think of it almost like the Republican Party and the Democrat Party fighting over a budget or something. And one part of the church, let's say it's the Republicans, they were anti...
I hate to reduce it to that, but okay.
But I mean, it's kind of like that. But they were anti-reincarnation. And let's say the Democrats were pro-reincarnation. Well, this guy, Emperor Justinian, he called a meeting and basically just invited the anti-reincarnation group.
Yes.
And they passed, you know, these decrees saying that reincarnation is heresy.
Oh, I've seen speakers of the House do that in the House. So
yeah.
They just...
Well, and listen to this. This is the kicker. The Pope at the time, his name was Pope Vigilius.
Yes.
This was like one of the biggest meetings in 100 years. It was one of the ecumenical council meetings, and he was so upset at what Justinian was doing that he boycotted the meeting. I mean, can you imagine if the Pope today boycotted the biggest meeting at the Vatican in 100 years?
Hardly. Let's hold this story. We're at the bottom of the hour. This one is for you, Doctor, and Nadia as well. Really couldn't resist. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
Go together like a horse and carriage. This, I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage. It's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary. Try, try, try to say.
With a tear in every room, all I want's a love you promise. Then the
Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
Maybe we sing about these karmic things. You ever notice that? You listen to the words of these songs? Isn't that what we're talking about? Karma? My guest is Dr. Walter Semkew, and he says he doesn't think, he knows, we reincarnate. He doesn't venture into speculation in areas beyond that. That is to say, the proof he has. I'm Art Bell.
To reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
So in other words, Doctor, the Pope actually boycotted the decision-making session with regard to whether or not a reincarnation would be included within the main body of Christianity. Is that about right?
Right, and it even gets worse. It also, in the Catholic Encyclopedia, it states that the conflict between the emperor and the pope was so bad that the pope suffered many civil indignities at the hands of the emperor and almost lost his life.
Phew. I'm going to tell you why I think that happened, and let's see if you agree with me or not. I think that that was basically stripped from the main body of Christianity because of control. In other words, if people actually thought they had another shot at things, and that it wasn't lights out or heaven or hell or whatever it is that we suggest in modern Christianity will occur when one passes away, how does the church control you without the fear of God? A very frequently used phrase. There is no real control. The only control is if you have fear for what will become of you after your one lifetime.
Well, I think you get an A for your analysis, and basically the. What's even more convincing about that argument is the fact that it's not only been taken out of Christianity, but it's been taken out of other religions, too. Reincarnation is in the Quran, and it's also in the historically Jews believed in reincarnation. All these kind of powerhouse religions took it out for the very reason you're saying.
Power.
Yeah, because if you accept reincarnation and karma, where every person is responsible for their actions and they have to come back and live through the karma that they generated,
right.
Then the church can't guarantee you a spot in heaven. And, you know, I grew up Catholic, you know, so that's the religion I know the best. And basically, you know, the way I see it is you're supposed to follow all these rules. You know, you're supposed to get baptized, and then you're supposed to go to church every week, and
that's
then
right.
You have to go to confession, communion, and so forth.
Yes.
And if you do all these things, then, you know, they'll get you into heaven. Well, if you accept reincarnation where that scenario doesn't work, then why go to church? You know, and I'm not putting down religions. We need religions, and religions do wonderful things.
No, I understand.
And we need the structure, and children need that structure. Families need the structure. So I'm not anti-religion in any way. But I think the real reason why reincarnation was taken out of the doctrines of all the great, you know, these three great religions is exactly what you're saying, is the church loses its power.
And if you don't go to church, you don't put coin in the plate either.
Yeah.
I've got several faxes here and several questions for you from listeners already, and they're just piling in. One was a valid one. Art, your guest was about to talk about why we forget from lifetime to lifetime. The conversation took a different turn. Could you please return to the question? It's a very important question. Why we consciously forget from lifetime to lifetime, seemingly not taking lessons forward. Why?
Well, I mean, it was kind of the illustration of that I had with my ex-wife, where if I had known what was going on,
right,
I would not have suffered.
Right. But you didn't, and the question is, why don't we have that knowledge?
Well, I guess what was unclear about that?
Well, what's unclear about it is you didn't know then the karma that you were destined to live out with your ex-wife.
Because I needed to experience it emotionally. I need to experience the rejection. If I intellectually knew that I wasn't supposed to stay in the marriage, I wouldn't have suffered.
And so you wouldn't have learned?
I wouldn't have learned the emotional hurt of rejection. And
yeah, I hear you.
You know, now I'm going to remember that lesson for many lifetimes to come.
So that is the answer.
Yeah.
That is the answer. That's why we don't remember. If we remembered, then we would avoid our karmic lessons.
Right. We would go into our intellects about it, and we wouldn't emotionally experience it. But the bottom line, it kind of goes back to that idea of there's the Ten Commandments. Everybody knows about it, but how many people break them?
I know.
And so there's intellectual learning, and then there's emotional learning. And the only lasting way that we really learn, I think, is through emotional learning.
All right. The person goes on. Spiritual work talks about transcending the ego or surrendering the ego. How does that relate to building the ego, as your guest was suggesting?
Well, I think it's a two-stage process. In the beginning, we have to build our ego. And then when our ego is strong enough, then we can start letting go of our ego and see what else is out there. One thing that I've sort of noticed is that for some people, talking about reincarnation is really scary for them.
I know.
And I think those are people who are still building their egos. For me to be able to look at this other lifetime, I have to accept maybe I'm not Walter. Maybe I'm something separate, you know, that I don't quite understand. I have to give up, you know, my identity as Walter to be able to accept my identity in this past life. Well, if you don't have your ego, you know, strong yet, then you can't do that. You know, so it's kind of, first you have to get a strong ego.
But I would think of it the opposite way around. In other words, Walter has a strong ego, and God knows most doctors have pretty good egos, you know, the old God complex thing, would be very unlikely to surrender that ego, to imagine yourself to have been, to be something, virtually something else altogether.
Well, but see, the thing is, we do carry spiritual wisdom with us. And when I was even a little kid, I told you before, in the past lifetime, I was very metaphysical and very much like I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as a young child, just like 5 years of age, looking around and right away asking real serious questions like, who am I and why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a little kid, when my playmates, you know, my age or in my teenage years, when they were doing sports or whatever, I was reading, and I was reading heavy-duty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all my life I've been like that. So it's you do bring it with you, you know, but okay. it may take some time to develop and unfold.
All right, good answer. He goes on, is there a way to improve your desires so that you begin to truly desire enlightenment, or must this simply occur naturally?
Well, there's in the book I have kind of an analogy which I think is really helpful in helping people grow. And I started to talk about it a little bit before, but it's the concept of the web. And you can think of all the people in the world as making up a big net or a web. And in this net, like a fishing net, each knot in the fishing net is like an individual person and an ego. But we're all interconnected by cords of the web.
What some call the collective consciousness.
Yeah, you can use that term. And when we're building our egos, we're focusing on the knot, you know, making the knot bigger and stronger. Or we can in the book I call it knot consciousness, or you can think of it as ego consciousness. On the other hand, if you start looking at yourself, if you try to identify instead with the whole web, then you start developing what people would call Christ consciousness, where you see yourself as all interconnected with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a real useful tool is to always think, am I thinking in ego consciousness where I'm thinking of myself, or am I thinking in web consciousness where I see myself as interconnected with everybody else?
All right, then try this one as we try and think about how people are thinking. He winds up with an appropriate question. We appear to be destroying our earth with the immaturity of our souls. Does the doctor have any insight on how we can reverse this trend?
Well, I think understanding reincarnation is a very important factor. And, you know, I'm very encouraged about, well, because if you understand reincarnation is real, then you're going to be a lot more careful about the environment, because when you know you're going to have to come back and live in this on this planet again, you're going to be a little more careful of what you do. And I'm very encouraged about movies such as What Dreams May Come and The Sixth Sense and so forth, because those kinds of movies help humanity grow. And this is sort of, if there's anybody in Hollywood or producers listening, you know, I think everybody who creates anything takes on karma for what they create.
I would really love, I asked you to go and see The Sixth Sense, and you had the same rough reaction to that movie I did. I was just absolutely floored by it. And you may be interested to know that movie was written by a 29-year-old man from India.
Yeah, that was great.
in
both movies, whoever wrote the screenplays, they certainly know a lot spiritually. And what I was going to say is, you know, everybody's responsible for what they create. And again, for producers, I would go back again to that idea. Are you thinking in ego consciousness or web consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
When you make movies like What Dreams May Come, you're encouraging web consciousness.
Absolutely.
But when you make Terminator 1 through 20, mm-hmm. you are encouraging ego consciousness. And you can argue all day long whether that promotes violence. I mean, it does promote violence. I mean, there's no question about it. And you take on that karma.
Next week I'm going to be interviewing Steven Seagal. You know, he's made a lot of pretty serious ego violent type movies, but he's a very, very in person, very spiritual person. It's going to be interesting to ask him about this.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see how anybody can justify that if they're really into spirituality.
We'll ask. He definitely is. I had quite a conversation with him. He's a very, very spiritual person. And so, again, going back to your hard research, What else do you think we can conclude? And I suppose your sample is far too small for you to answer this question yet, but most people who believe in reincarnation believe that eventually you attain a state of perfection that finally allows you not to have to reincarnate. The lessons have been learned, the karma has been fulfilled, and you don't come back. Would you like to address that, or can you?
Well, I think that's true. You know, I don't have personal experience or evidence, but that makes sense to me, and that's what, you know, a lot of teachers sort of say.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about ghosts? What about spirits? What about people who talk with the dead? James von Prague, for example, whom I've interviewed any number of times, and others. Daniel Brinkley, who had an NDE to end all NDEs, and he's a good friend of mine, and this sort of thing. Where does that fit in, or does it?
Well, I mean, that stuff is real. And if you ever doubt that there's life after death, go see James von Prague in action. I mean, he's very amazing.
Oh, he's been on the show 3 or 4 times now.
Yeah.
He is amazing, yes.
I mean, he basically can communicate messages from deceased relatives to living relatives, and it's obvious the messages have such impact on the living relatives that you know what he's, you know, communicating is real.
Has to be true, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it basically, you know, I think it's very strong supporting evidence that there's life after death, you know. So I think that's, I really love his work and I like his books and, you know, I admire his work.
Well, I've seen a lot of research scientists and physicians, I might add, doctor, who say, balderdash, all of this NDE stuff, balderdash, what happens to your brain when you die is that the brain, starved for oxygen, immediately begins dying from the outside in, which accounts for the center of light that you see. And this is all physiological and has nothing to do with spirit or anything else. And I've seen any number of scientists and doctors state exactly that.
They're wrong.
they're wrong.
They're dead wrong. Yeah. I mean, anybody who's really, I mean, and James von Prague is actually a really good example. Let me get a story that I found especially compelling, and it kind of has to do also with another part of the book, which is the astrologic transits. I mean, the book covers all the reincarnation stuff.
People want to know, by the way, where to get your book. Amazon.com, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you can get it through Borders.com, Amazon.com. It'd be better for us if you got it through our website, which is www.plutoproject.com.
Oh, I'm not sure I've got a link to that. www.plutoproject.com?
Yeah, P-L-U-T-O-P-R-O-J-E-C-T, one word, plutoproject.com.
Okay.
And it's a very colorful website, and there's pages about the past lives and about the astrology stuff. And people can get a preview of the book on the website. And then also we have a toll-free 800 number, which is 888-22-PLUTO, P-L-U-T-O.
Okay, do it again. 1-888.
888-22-PLUTO.
Pluto.
And it's available also through bookstores, though at this point in time, I don't think most of the big chains stock it. You'd have to go in and ask them to order it.
A lot of people that listen to me are very computer-oriented, so they're very likely to go either to your website or Amazon.com, one of the two.
But what I was going to say with James von Prague, another part of the project is the astrology part. And most of astrology that's out there I don't believe, and I don't believe that the natal horoscope actually determines your personality. But there is a part of astrology that I think is real, and it's called the part that I'm thinking of or talking about is the transits. And the transits are the real planets orbiting in space as they make angles to your natal planets. And when these geometric angles form, things are supposed to happen in your life.
In other words, where the planets were at the moment of your birth.
Yeah. Where the planets are when you're born basically makes up your natal horoscope. And you can think of that as like stationary. But then the planets keep on rotating, you know, in orbit.
Oh, yes. And they move on.
Right. And so they make angles. And in the same way that I sort of got into this reincarnation stuff by accident, I got into the astrology stuff by accident. And over the last 20 years or so, I've watched the transits, and they seem to work. Well, I went and saw James Von Prague last weekend here in San Francisco, and he was communicating a message from a boy or young man who committed suicide.
Yes.
And he was talking to the mother who was still, you know, living. And the deceased son was apologizing that for what he did. And he said that he was with her when she took his ashes out on the water and spread them on the water, and that he saw her reading the note and that her hands were shaking.
No way he could have known this.
Right. And the... Doctor,
hold on. We'll come right back to that after the break and maybe do some phone calls as well. I'm Art Bell. What do you think, folks? Interesting?
Can a guy from anywhere?
I think so.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Oh, and a kid without a cent. Oh, get a break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America.
To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
My guest is Dr. Walter Semhue, and we've been discussing reincarnation. It is logical, isn't it? Perhaps more logical than other things that have been discussed as possibilities for what comes next, or however you want to think about it. Really is quite logical. Anyway, stay right where you are. We've got another little segment to do.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today.
Explore your universe with Coast to Coast AM.
Assuming there's life like ours on other planets in this universe, do you think they, too, might be looking for this God particle or this question of who are we? How did we get here? Or do you think they even have the answer by now?
If they're sentient, intelligent beings, I have no doubt in my mind they're asking the same questions that we're asking. And the day you find a being that's not looking is the day you probably found God.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
All right, once again, everybody, everything you're hearing tonight is contained, and much more, of course, in the doctor's book. And the name of your book, doctor?
It's Astrology for Regular People.
Astrology for Regular People.
And the author is actually under the project name, which is Pluto Project.
Okay.
And basically, the book is much more than just a book on astrology.
Sure.
It's about understanding people through the planetary archetypes of astrology. And you don't even have to have a natal horoscope to use that. And it talks about the transits. And I got a boost from James von Prague, actually. I didn't finish that story, but the young man who suicided and was getting a message through to his mother,
yes,
through James von Prague, said that what she should do is go to an astrologer and see what she's going through astrologically, that she was going through a period of transformation that began with his death. And basically what I think the spirit was saying is check out your transits, which is what the book is about. And then it does talk about, it gives all the information, the bottom lines on reincarnation and destiny and free will, and goes into the explanation of web consciousness and ego consciousness. And you can get it through our website, which is www.plutoproject.com,
right,
or our toll-free number, which is 888-22-PLUTO.
That's 888, toll-free number, 888-22-PLUTO.
Right.
P-L-U-T-O. All right.
Now, I wanted to just also follow up on a couple of points from the last segment. Somebody asked about animals, and there's a quote here from another one of the church fathers. His name was Synesis, and he was a bishop, and again, to be a church father, that's kind of like the Christian Hall of Fame. Well, there's this quote from him, and he lived from 370 to 430 A.D. Philosophy speaks of souls being prepared by a course of transmigrations.
Yes.
When the soul first comes down to earth, it embarks on this animal spirit as on a boat, and through it is brought into contact with matter.
Well, I can say this, and I don't know if it means anything, but I'm a cat person. I have three cats. Some of them are very independent, cat-like, lovable, but very cat-like. One of them is so close to being human that I really wonder sometimes. Okay. And so there may be a kind of a progression, and that would suggest the possibility that though we don't go back as animals, they may come forward as humans.
I think that's how it works. And again, I have no way to prove it, but intuitively, I feel that's true. And like I've always had a real connection with birds. And even as I'm talking to you now, I've got two cockatiels on my shoulders. And
my cats would like them.
Yeah, they're tasty. But it's interesting because some of the people in my karmic group are really into birds too, and it's almost like bird people stick together, and then there's your mammal people and
that's
so forth.
Right. That's right. I was at one time in birds, into birds. I had parrots, I had grays, I had all kinds of birds, and they're really interesting. Matter of fact. Listen, we've got a few people waiting to talk to you, so let's...
One more comment.
Sure.
There was a listener from Redondo Beach who called about her son remembering things and being with her before...
At 4 years of age.
Well, there's a psychiatrist at the University of Virginia, if this listener is still listening, who would be probably very interested to talk to your son. And his name is Ian Stevenson, MD. He's actually a big shot. He's the Carlson Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Virginia. And his phone number, in case you want to contact him, is 804.
This is the office number, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay.
804-924-2281.
I have interviewed Dr. Stevenson.
Oh, okay, great.
All right. Let's take care of the people that are holding, and then I'm going to release you to sleep, Morpheus. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Walter SMQ. Hi.
Yeah, my name is Daryl.
Hi, Daryl. Where are you?
I'm in Memphis, listening on 600 AM in Memphis, Tennessee.
All right. Fire away.
Okay. First of all, I am an avid listener of you. I've been listening to you for over 2 years. I was over the road truck driver.
Thank you.
And but this is the first time I've called in. I'm at home right now, so I've had the chance, and I've been listening to you tonight. And I have a question for the doctor. Of course, the good book, and I'm not going to quote it, but Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. And in Malachi, the book of Malachi, it says, in the last days, before the great day of shakening, that he will send him to us again before the great day of reckoning. And I somehow seem to believe these days are coming upon us. So that would be a reincarnation, would it not?
Well, if you've been listening to the Good Doctor throughout the night and you follow reincarnation, reckoning is more or less an ongoing process.
Okay.
As opposed to a single sudden event. What do you have to say about that, Doctor? In other words, isn't reincarnation sort of an ongoing
reckoning,
in a way?
It's an ongoing thing. And, you know, one thing we have to remember about the apocalyptic writings,
yes,
is they were written at the time, you know, about 60 years after, you know, the crucifixion of Christ. And basically at that time, the Christian church was being persecuted by the Romans. And basically, these writings were, you know, when they were talking about, you know, all this evil stuff, they were talking about the Romans. And they were expecting or hoping that there would be like the, second coming to kind of free the early Christians from the persecution from the Romans, you know. And so I think it's kind of, you know, Christ was never kind of a guy to really come and rule the earth. You know, he was more into love. And so I think all that stuff is a little bit misinterpreted.
All right. Wild card line, you're on the air with Dr. Walter Simkew. Hi.
Hi, how are you? My name is Robert. I'm an amateur radio operator. I'm not going to give you my call because I'll just be blanked out.
I would have to do that because it would leave your address.
Okay, I have a liberal arts degree and a theater degree from a community college, and I'm working on a psychology degree. And I wanted to ask him about the biological process involved in reincarnation. Now, I've experienced things where I've actually had a woman come up to me and tell me that she has been searching for me her whole life, that I was her. She came to America
to
find me.
Oh, my.
Yeah. This is on a pier in Redondo Beach.
And
I was at a restaurant about 12 years ago.
How did you handle that?
I didn't quite know what to think about it. I just said, excuse me, miss, I have to go.
And so what happened after that?
I've had contact with her several times where she and a few of her other friends have tried to contact me, and I finally had to call the police. But I couldn't get out of my mind, and I've been researching precognition, especially the biological process, which I believe is involved in the precognition, which I believe is tied up with reincarnation. Now, some background on this is J. Edgar Hoover worked in the Library of Congress as a researcher before he took over any federal agency. He had all kinds of people come to him to ask him to do research for him. This is when he was in law school. This is about the time a philosopher wrote down that it is impossible for the soul to occupy another body.
Yeah. We'll leave it there. I'll tell you, to have somebody come across the ocean from Europe or wherever and to search you out and to find you and to suggest to you what was suggested to that man, and then to have it end the way it did, by calling the police, just wouldn't seem like a satisfactory result in the long term. I would think such a thing would haunt you for the rest of your life if you didn't at least listen. Remarkable. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Walter Simkew. Hello.
Yes, Steve, calling from Michigan, listening on CKLW.
Yes, sir.
Or that's 800 AM, I'm sorry.
The mighty 800, yes,
yeah.
CKLW.
Mm-hmm. Question for the doctor. You were talking about how they disregarded the three incarnation up in the church.
Yes.
Did they take out a book in the Bible, or did they just pervert paragraphs, or what's the definition of how they took it out?
Well, all this happened after the Bible. None of this is part of the Bible.
Okay.
I mean, what we're dealing with is church doctrine after the New Testament was written.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's basically, you know, the thing is, the way that I would think of it is that the church authorities are people just like you and me, you know, and they're like struggling to make sense of it all, and they want to promote, you know, what was there before.
Okay.
But they're human beings, and they can make mistakes.
Now, yep, is there anywhere in the Bible that kind of refers to it that they don't touch on, or?
Well, it's, you know what, sir? It's in the Bible if you look for it.
Okay.
But what the doctor is talking about is the vote that set the church on its doctrine course that it remains on today. And by the way, I understand that the vote that reincarnation lost by one vote.
Oh, Lord.
Like you can vote on this kind of thing.
Okay. I appreciate your time there, Doctor.
Right.
Okay, great show, Art.
Right.
Glad to get through.
Thank you. One last call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Walter Simcoe. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Byron with in San Mateo.
Yes, sir.
On KSFO 560. Question for the doctor. Have you heard of the Michael Studies or read any of the books on the Michael Studies?
Yeah, actually, I know somebody who wrote one of those books.
Oh, really? Who is that?
His name is Simon Warwick Smith.
Oh, that's very interesting. I read those books many years ago, and they pretty much explained to me, they ring true. They explained to me what reincarnation is about, although I'm not, I would say that I have a pretty good idea of what I think it is, although I would certainly not say that I know for fact what it is, and quite possibly reincarnation is something altogether different. And I include the possibility that we could come back as animals. Many years ago, I heard a very interesting talk by Alan Watts, and he said something that fascinated me. He said that to be human is to be the center of an awareness, and to be the center of an awareness, you'll never know what it's like to be anything but the center of that awareness. And so I'm thinking that possibly you can reincarnate a worm or a bird or any other form of life, including any alien form of life, and possibly evolve in that form, and be a part of the ever and ongoing reincarnation process.
Well, I don't think I want to be a worm. So I mean, it's like I don't see that I'm going to evolve being a worm.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, if you are a worm, you'll only know what it's like to be a worm. And for all we know, I mean,
I mean, a lot of that stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's just like intellectual. God, I don't know what the word is, but if you really understand something, you can say it simply. And there's a lot of stuff out there that is just a lot of intellectualism. And that's what it strikes me as.
Well, or we might apply Occam's razor and suggest that the most likely thing is probably the one.
Right.
And reincarnation, when you really just simply think of it and study it as you have, is, to me, and always has been, the simplest, most straightforward answer, and so, therefore, the most likely one.
Yeah, and the real truth is real simple.
Exactly. Another way to say it. All right, well, Doctor, you have given 15 and a little more, as promised, and I want to thank you for being on the program. If you'd like to get any contact information out one more time, you're welcome to do that.
Okay. Well, our website is PlutoProject.com. We have a toll-free phone number, which is 1-888-22-PLUTO, P-L-U-T-O. The book is called Astrology for Regular People. It has all this reincarnation stuff in it, plus astrology stuff. And you can get it through our website, which for our project, financially, it would be the most beneficial. But you can also get it at bookstores. Most bookstores at this point in time probably don't stock it, so people would have to order it through the bookstore.
But they generally go to their computer and bring it up and get it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You can get it through our website, and that's financially, you know, because I'm just getting started, and financially it's much more profitable for us
if you order over
from the
internet.
Website. I've got you.
And Art, I really want to thank you for the opportunity. I'm very, very grateful.
Well, thank you, and I hope you got to get out most of what you wanted to get out.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, but there's a lot more. We still have to do the astrology part.
Well, we'll do that in the next show.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. So there you have it, folks. That's Dr. Walter Simkew. He is a physician, regular downtown kind of doctor, MD. And he's got some pretty unusual views, as you have just heard, on reincarnation. But, again, I would say to you what I said to him, and that is that, and I've really gone through this reincarnation thing and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And to me, it simply seems the most logical answer. And that doesn't mean it is the answer, but it seems the most logical answer. And so to me, it probably is the answer. Doesn't mean it's so. It's just one man's opinion, or in the case of this show tonight, a couple. So we're going to stay in open lines the remainder of the program. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Daryl again.
Daryl, you already called?
Yeah.
You're only allowed to call once. Those are the rules, Daryl.
Okay, well, you cut me off.
Okay, well, the conversation ended there. We've got to hold to the rules. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Yes, Art, this is Gina from Las Vegas.
Yes.
You know, before I told you I was the reincarnation of Kuku's daughter.
You may have mentioned that. It may have slipped my mind.
Yes. I wanted to tell you something. I've tried several times to tell you, but it seems like I always get cut off.
Well, you... Okay.
When you were in the Great Pyramid and you laid down in the King's Chamber...
Yes.
That is called the Chamber of the Kus, and this is where we're headed. You lay there with your feet to the south and your head to the north.
Yes.
And vibrations will go through you.
No question about it. I felt it.
Yeah, a cloud of light will rise out of you. It looks just like a regular cloud, but it has a million stars in it.
Well, I didn't see any of that, but I can assure you I felt the vibration.
You didn't lay there long enough.
Well, that you may be right. Actually, you know, my time that I did have in the sarcophagus, if that's what it is, at the top of the Great Pyramid, was... shocking. The word I would use would be shocking. I walked away from that experience shocked. It totally blew my mind. And if you ever get a chance to get to Egypt, try it yourself. Let me know how it comes out. I think you can still get up into the Great Pyramid, despite earlier warnings they might close it. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
No need to see. I'll be your belly dancer.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Want to take a ride? Have you ever been on a camel? Generally picking pieces of camel off you for a long time afterwards. But it's still a romantic notion. We'll be right back.
Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from November 24th, 1999.
All right, we're headed into the final segment, open lines all the way. Here we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Wanted to ask a couple questions about the author that you had on today.
Okay, first of all, extinguish thy radio.
Oh, yes.
Yes, turn it off, in other words.
Right.
Good for you. All right, now, with regard to my guest, yes.
Oh, I wanted to say what he's talking about is very similar to Jane Roberts' books. If you recall that author, I don't know if you know of Jane Roberts, Seth Speaks, and the guy that she channeled through her, Seth.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. All right. Appreciate it, sir.
Oh, anyway.
Yes?
Her books are still out on the market. And you would find that very interesting reading about she channels this entity through her called Seth, and he...
Okay, let me give you the standard Art Bell on channeling, all right? I am suspicious of channeling, and I understand my guest spoke of it, and I'm not saying that... And I always take a lot of heat for this. I'm not saying that channeling does not occur. But what I am saying is that there is so much room for fraud in channeling that I'm highly skeptical. And I think it's proper to be highly skeptical of channeling. I mean, anybody can take their voice and lower it suddenly and suggest, I am now Ramsa, and I am here to pass information on to you about your life, your prior life, and the nature of the universe. Listen carefully to Ramsa as he tells you. No. So, if I can do that, anybody can do it. And there are a lot of people who can do it better than I can. A quick word about that which ticks.
July 1969. Man was about to walk on the moon and change our perceptions of the universe forever. For precise timing mechanisms, NASA turned to Bulova. Bulova was there for America's first journey out of this world.
Your contractions are 1 minute apart. You're doing fine.
And today, doctors and nurses often rely on us when someone new comes into it. Wherever the next generations take us, America still runs on Bulova time.
All right, back we go. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
I'm also surprised. I'm on radio, CC Radio, still on a commercial here, and I thought there was that much of a delay.
There is.
Oh, anyhow, I was sort of thinking that that there's quite a bit of a possibility. First of all, I'm Robert from North Hollywood, California.
Yes, sir.
KO6GO. And I was thinking that maybe we do come back and forth in between other animals. It's really scary to think of. Who wants to be an animal?
I tend to think not. I kind of tend to agree with the doctor, and I think that the progression is upward. And upward in... spiritualism, upward in karma, upward in every way you can imagine. And have you not seen animals, sir, that are Very animal-like. I mean, that simplifies the, you know, what I'm saying. But, I mean, they're very animal-like. And other animals that some come so close to human in behavior and personality that they're on that track.
The scariest thing, you know what made me think that? Is I had a neighbor that passed away. And a week after that, this is really odd, a little kitten came out of nowhere, and it went up to me, and it stared at me. I looked at its eyes. It gave me a creepy feeling. It looked like, I mean, it had
looked like your neighbor?
Like human. Yeah, and it
recognize your neighbor in that?
It followed me around for months. And my neighbor used to always talk to me. I wouldn't talk to anybody else but me.
Really?
And then that cat followed me for months. And Phil goes, "Is that your cat?" "That's not my cat." Phil goes, "That's Destiny. That's your cat."
What did you do with this cat?
I don't know. I never fed it. He was just a stray, and it was a kitten, a little tiny kitten.
You mean you were thinking this could have been your neighbor, and you didn't even feed it? What kind of neighbor are you?
I don't know. I was scared, basically. It was terrifying. The thing followed me everywhere, and it was eerie. It really scared me. And I was thinking that we might be attracted to the pets that we once were. Like, you loved cats, right? Maybe you were a cat before.
I may well have been a cat.
See, you like cats a lot. And the guy who's on the doctor, I can't remember his name, but he had birds. Maybe he was a bird.
That's Dr. Semkew. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Art.
Take care. You know, it's possible. Anything's possible. But again, I tend to agree with the doctor, and I think that we progress. And if it indeed is a progression, it may be egotistically human to imagine that we're at the top of the present food chain, but, you know, I think we are. It's a fairly safe conclusion based on what we know with regard to the planet, what's on the planet right now. Not that we know everything, and yes, who knows about dolphins, but generally we seem to be the top of it all. And that doesn't mean that we're that far progressed in our present position as human beings. But I would think that it doesn't go the other way. That's just conjecture, but it's mine, and apparently the doctor's as well. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah. Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, I was calling about, have you been able to get hold of that Carlos Castaneda?
No. And I have tried. If you have a way I can do it, I'm listening.
I read all his books, and I just kind of curious. If there's any way, yeah.
I'm not even sure he's still alive.
God.
Are you?
No, not at all. I heard that, yeah, that guy on the air the other day there, and I'm a Kansas farmer, raised cows, and I listened to your program.
By the way, turn your radio off, please.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. It's just a common mistake.
Yeah, and listen to your program every day,
you still got your radio on. See, that makes you sound all confused if you leave it on. That's why I'm having you turn it off.
Yeah, damn cordless. All right, is that better?
I guess.
All right. Yeah, and I was just kind of curious whether or not hell and that program you had on the other day there made me even more confused.
All right, well, you're confused because you won't turn your radio off. I don't know why people won't listen to me. It's to your own benefit, folks, to turn the radio off. I don't know why some people will not listen. And then when it's on in the background, it is 6 seconds, actually 6 seconds or 7 seconds behind what you're really saying. And so it makes you sound, even though I know you're not, I'm sure you're perfectly lucid, but the very best of us sound terribly confused when we have that going on. Therefore, when you get on the air, if you want to sound lucid, turn your radio off. It's a simple instruction, and it's one for your benefit, because you don't really want to come on the air and sound all confused, do you? Wild card line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, it's Phil in New Hampshire.
Hi, Phil.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And the same to you.
And that's about it for tonight.
All right.
Alrighty.
All right.
Have a good one.
The Northeast is absolutely short spoken this morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, the very same to all of you out there. Whether you plan to indulge in that foul turkeyness or not, actually, in our home, we have a choice, turkey and roast. And
For me, it's the roast, and I watch the others imbibe the turkey. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How you doing?
Well, reasonably well.
Okay. A couple things, two different subjects, but on the reincarnation deal, I have a big moral dilemma with it, personally. Because
okay.
If I believe in reincarnation, then I can't see how it matters what I do, whether I commit suicide, kill other people, you know.
Well, yes, and then you weren't listening.
Well,
in other words, if there's a karmic price to pay.
Yeah, but I'm always going to try to overcome my enemies. I can't help but just the nature.
Well, that's human nature. But still, nevertheless, the answer to your question is there is a restraint. If you believe in reincarnation and you believe in karmic payback, then you don't do things in the present life as though it doesn't matter because you're coming back. Because when you come back, you're going to come back and you're going to pay the price.
I understand that part, Art. But anyway, if I think I just do it once, then I'm going to try to do it right the first time, and that's sort of human nature, too. But on another subject, there's a fellow, his name is David Blaine. Did you have him?
I don't think so.
Have you heard his name?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, you have an awful lot of people on your show that talks about different things like telekinesis, reincarnation. This guy is doing it. He's called Magic Man. And if you haven't seen the films yet, they'll astound you.
Well, if you have a way for me to contact him, send it along to me, and I'll do what I can.
Okay, David Blaine, Magic Man. He was in the national news. He buried himself. And then, to me...
Oh, Now, that's suddenly keying something for me. I remember a story about somebody who buried himself.
Right. To me, it was the death and resurrection. But that's off on a different... Now, I might be on a tangent there. But if you can get a hold of the film that I've seen, he will do things that just completely astound you, Art. It's not appears to be made up. It appears to be just this guy walking down the street with somebody that's not real good at it with a camera behind him, meeting people that he's never seen before in his life.
Hmm.
He'll read their minds. He'll show his compassion, and it's just totally unbelievable. He'll actually levitate things.
All right. I'm very interested, of course, in anybody like that, so get the information to me, and I will proceed with it, and I'll see what I can do. But that sounds like something right down my alley. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Greg in Santa Ana.
Hey, Greg.
I'd like to give you another piece of logic that may explain apparent reincarnation.
Sure.
Well, the scriptures tell us that demons can possess both humans and animals.
That's right.
Okay. And apparently their lifespan, if they have an end to it, is much longer than ours. And they're parasitic.
Right.
So what is to stop a demon from dwelling within somebody's body and faithfully chronicling every moment of their life, and then eventually that person dies, that demon moves on and eventually inhabits another body and impresses all the memories and thoughts and impressions upon that second person where they believe that they've lived before.
Mm.
You know, the first lie that Satan told to mankind through Eve was, "You shall not surely die." And that takes all the weight out of the resurrection if we just keep living on and on and on. And so we're like cassette recorders.
Yeah, I can't deny it's eminently possible.
Well, it's like, you know, where a recorder records a tape, which is the demon. The tape goes into another tape player and plays it faithfully.
Sure.
And for all the world, that second tape player could think that it experienced the music.
Kind of grates across free will a little bit.
No, because I think that possession or impression is up to our own vulnerabilities if we allow that to dissuade or persuade us.
So you think people make a choice to allow that?
Yes.
Okay, well, at least that would be consistent with the rest of your theory. Thank you. Sure, possible. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, yeah, Art, this is Keith from Kansas City. Listen to you on KCMO 710.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? I sent you an email a while back about, do you know that stone they found over in Egypt that had like the Apache helicopters and stuff?
What?
They had the stone over there that had They found it. It was on that special, the Egypt special, with the mummies and everything, with
I remember that, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was just wondering, do you think...
I don't know that they were Apaches, but, I mean, they looked like helicopters flying.
Right.
Machines, yeah.
I was just wondering if you think maybe back then they had remote viewers and they were just looking into the future like we do.
What a pretty good idea.
Yeah, just wondered that, and I thought maybe you'd ask Ed Dames next time you talk to him.
I will indeed. Thank you. Oh, what a pretty interesting concept that the inscriptions that we have found in ancient Egypt, and I might add, by the way, elsewhere, are future visions as opposed to ancient civilizations. One has to imagine the possibility anyway, right? That they are future visions, essentially remote viewed by somebody in the past. Because remote viewing, or its rough equivalent, if not its modern refinement, have always been with human beings in terms of ability. Do the wild thing at 775-727-1295. David, I can't allow you to put your last name on the air.
Oh, yeah, that's the David Peckerland.
Oh, Peckerland.
Yeah, remember me, David from Peckerland?
Yes, I get it now, Peckerland.
Yes. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guy.
Finally, you know, Brett finally looked like himself this last Sunday.
Yeah, but heck, most of the team's in Seattle now, so it doesn't really matter anymore, does it?
Well, yes, it does, because I'm a Brett Favre fan, and I was feeling very poorly for him for a few weeks there.
And they got the big Monday night game coming up in San Francisco.
Exactly. And that should be a cakewalk. With Brett healthy, they are going to go rolling over San Francisco like a boot over an anthill.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I think it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you.
Sure.
A couple of them, actually. First of all, I think we need to teach these people to wise up and turn the radios off when they call you. I mean, that's just common sense. It's getting kind of old after a while. You think these people would know by now listening to your show.
No, I never learn. I mean, it's a common thing. I get down on people for it because it makes them sound confused. So I try to impress on them why it's important to have the radio down. But after all, you don't know that I'm going to answer the phone. I don't screen calls.
Yeah.
So boom, you're just on the air and you're shocked. And so it doesn't occur to you. It's a human thing.
Yeah, I guess the other thing I was going to ask you is, how do you know which line to pick up right away? Because I can't figure out the method to your madness when you do that.
Well, there is no method to my madness. There's just madness. Usually, I try and follow a kind of a logical progression of what lines I pick up.
Yeah, because I gave up trying to figure out, because I figured I called a couple of times where I was on hold and the phone would just ring and ring, and I'd say Ethan Rockies would be the next one, and then you pick up first-time caller line or something like that.
You, mm-hmm. You have your radio on, don't you?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
I heard it.
Uh-uh, seriously. Don't be telling me that, Art. I know better. I'm a long-time listener. I wouldn't do that to you.
All right. Okay, then.
Hey, have a good Thanksgiving, Art.
You too.
Bye.
Take care. I could have sworn I heard the radio on in the background. There's one. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. How you doing, sir?
Okay.
Hey, I love your program. I've been listening to you for a good many years, and it's been a few years since I've called in.
A few years? That's too long.
I know, but I love your program. There was a period of time there where... I guess you went to FM. I'm here in Vegas. I'm listening to you on 105.1 FM.
Yeah, and we're about to go back to AM in Las Vegas, too.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
What call numbers do you know?
My best guess would be 840.
840, okay.
KXNT.
Well, I just
and
hope
we're,
that...
We're doing that because the station we're on now was sold and is going to be a Spanish-speaking radio station.
Okay.
Now, we are the number one radio show in Las Vegas. Survey after survey after survey, including this last one, number one.
Okay. The thing I like about you being on 105.1 is I actually get your program all the way from 8 p.m. till 3 in the morning.
Oh, I know.
And I drive cabs, so it's very entertaining to me.
Well, I appreciate that, but the fact of the matter is, if we don't go somewhere, we'll be nowhere, and then you'll be lonely in your cab.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, I really got bothered by many of the things I was hearing tonight. You know, I love the information on.
Listen,
on the program.
Listen, my program is actually over. So, in view of the sale pending 105.1, tell the audience adios.
Well, everybody have a wonderful evening. Take care. God bless. I'll talk to you on another day.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Good night.